The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I wanted to ask you about the time you were awarded Best Dressed Man of the Year. What I want to know is, how can an interviewer in RTE afford to be Best Dressed Man?
Well, it's quite simple, really, Minister. In RTE, we can dress for half price, because we only have to dress from the waist up.
Seriously, do you think this new development would be of help to people in broadcasting? Do you see it as being used in broadcasting?
As a matter of fact, it does come in useful. The other day on the Today at 5 programme, we had to talk to a friend of yours, actually, Tom Darby.
Do you actually talk to Tom Darby?
OK, you may recognise one voice there, which has deepened a little with the years. That's my own voice, because 40 years ago, the first ever official mobile phone call was made between me and the former Minister of Communications, the late Jim Mitchell. It was on this day, 40 years ago, 1985. And it was at a time when Ireland had the lowest uptake in landline services. And then it went on to become one of the leaders in mobile phone usage. But how has the mobile phone developed in that 40 years? What does the landscape look like now? Joining me is Derek Cassidy, the founder of the Irish Communications Research Group, and Nicola Cook, Director of Telecommunications Industry Ireland. Good morning and welcome. We go back to that call 40 years ago. I suppose I should explain. The minister was often at odds with Tom Darby, who was the Secretary General of the National Busman's Union at the time, and there were fractious relationships, so that was the crack about that. And I had been voted Ireland's Best Dressed Man, and that was his crack about that. And that was the bit of fun we had on the day. But I'm not sure that we felt the hand of history was on our shoulders at the time. It was an important, exciting development, but we could not possibly foresee what lay ahead.
Yeah. Well, when you actually think about it, 11 months earlier, the UK had actually set up their system as well. So we were in the middle of a downturn, the longest one in Europe. And the fact is that Telecom Ireland decided to actually build a network, to invest money into something that would hopefully bring Ireland into the future.
Now, at the time, it was very hard to get a landline.
Yes.
I remember when I finally got a landline in my home in Leinster Road, off Leinster Road in Rathmines. The reason I got it was in 1979, the Pope came, and I was doing commentary on the Pope. So therefore, I had to be contactable. Yeah. And there were no mobile phones in 79.
Of course.
But I couldn't get a landline. But suddenly, I leapt up the priority list.
Yeah.
And six people arrived to install a landline. I mean, that's the way it was in those days. Six people arrived to install that. So we were really out of touch as a nation.
Technically, yes or no. Telecom Ireland were the outlier when it came to digital networks. They actually took the bull by the horns. And even from 1977, they established the very first digital network in Ireland and they pushed it forward. And you're talking about 20 years later, they are the most digitised country in Europe.
Yeah, I remember at the time the old exchanges were what they call electromechanical,
yes,
where you dialed and you could hear the ticka 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 as you dialed.
Yeah.
And what Albert Randles, who was the minister at the time, he decided with, I'm sure, expert advice, to jump from the electromechanical straight to the digital, skipping out the electronic phase.
Yes.
Where Britain, for example, was all electronic exchanges.
Yeah.
We forgot about that and leapt straight into the digital age, which was transformational.
And that's one of the bonuses of it. The fact is that we had actually digitised all the switches in Ireland, that when the UK were actually building their own, they had to actually call upon Telecom Ireland to send over their staff to help them build their network. So not only did we build ours, we built the UK's as well.
Now, going back to that first official phone call, and we had Jim Mitchell and myself having a chat, it was an important launch. It was the launch of Aircell,
yes,
which was fairly limited in its original capacity, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Basically, it only had one mast. It covered 30 kilometres, and basically, it only covered Dublin as well. And within 1 year, it only had 1,000 customers. But as time went on, more customers then joined.
Now, it was expected this would be a business tool, not one for the punter.
Yes, but what they didn't realise was that an awful lot of tradespeople who always wanted a landline now realise they can get a landline in their pocket. And that's where they actually took to the actual system as well.
And they were expensive, those early phones, and they had car phones and all the rest.
Yes.
I remember I installed a car phone, which was portable as well. It was made by Philips at the time.
Yeah.
But you'd need a rucksack to carry it.
Oh, they were huge. Of course, yeah. In one hand would have a battery, and the other hand would have the phone.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the difference there is the fact is that it took one person from the UK to come over and see the fact is that they had a greenfield site. So they decided to bring in new ways of actually attracting people. And those ways of attracting people to buy the phone now are actually established all around the world. But yet Ireland were the ones that first started.
Like Stephen Brewer was in charge of it at the time.
Yeah.
Now, the industry grew rapidly when more competitors came in. First of all, we had the privatisation of Telecom Air and Aircom and ultimately Air, which is totally privately owned now. Although as the legacy carrier, it has certain obligations that the others didn't have.
Of course, yeah.
But competition brought, if you like, the democratisation of the phone.
Totally. The fact is that when the newcomers actually went straight on to the GSM network, even though the 088 network, which was the 1G network, was being shut down, the 2G and the 3G were coming in. 3G came in 2003. The fact is that the newcomers were allowed to actually establish a new network. So they could actually build from where Aircom were establishing themselves. They immediately got an extra two or three rungs above them.
Yeah. I mean, there was 088, which was analog and could be eavesdropped upon. But once you got digital, you couldn't eavesdrop. So we had loads of competitors in the market. We had three networks in the end competing with each other. All good for the punter.
Yes.
Because they would get subsidised phones. You pay through your bill anyway.
Well, of course.
And then texting.
Yeah. Now, texting is like it was 500, I think it was 530 or 570 million text messages the last quarter of this year. But a couple of years ago, it was 3.5 billion a year.
And you wonder, why is it going down? Well,
it's going down because of WhatsApp. It's going down because of data. It's going down because a certain mobile phone company decided a couple of years ago to use as much data as you wanted. Now, everyone is now doing that because they realised
that you can eat data, kind of thing.
Because text messages were going down and voice messages were going down.
Now, when we launched this thing 40 years ago, it was all about being a phone, not a smartphone. Now, Nicola, you are Director of Telecommunications Industry Ireland, Nicola Cook. The future, I mean, people are criticising the smartphone because of kids' access to it, but there's no doubt it's a wonderful tool.
Absolutely. In terms of, I suppose, what it enables, it's a massive enabler of the economy, remote education, remote working, just being connected to communities and your family and all that. So I suppose Ireland, when we look back to what it was then, it's now one of the most advanced digital nations in Europe. So the telco industry that we're talking about, there's actually huge competition now. People that have a choice of actually 12 different providers. It has invested like 5 billion in the networks and there's actually 5 million smartphone users. So obviously there's technology has evolved. There's the apps.
Clearly babies are not using them, even though young kids are using them. But it means that some people have multiple phones.
Exactly. Comreg are just saying the market penetration now is 111%. So obviously the likes of us have two phones and all that. But and just even to go back there to the 10 years ago, people were using 2.7 gigs of data. And now the average user is using 20 gigs of data a month. But if you look at when we look at that access and I suppose the democratization of things, the CSO just in October said approximately 99% of the population can avail of 4G, 5G and almost 95% of households have internet access. So if you think of the future, the internet of things, AI, all of that. And in the last 8 years, there has also been a 460% increase in data traffic. So that's why investment in the networks is really important.
Right. Now, 40 years ago, we couldn't anticipate all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking in 2025, what lies ahead? What's the next generation?
Well, Derek is probably better. There's 6G and I suppose the kind of ongoing competition in the market. And I mean, prices are kind of 10% lower than they were. I suppose as well, I think there just needs to be a bit of a, you know, more of a education campaign around the infrastructure, masts and towers and how important that is for your signal, etc.
OK, what lies ahead then, Derek?
6G anyway. Because basically, 5G is still being rolled out anyway. So basically, 6G is the next best thing coming. 6G is going to be twice the bandwidth of actual 5G.
So downloading a movie to your phone
instantaneous.
Is much quicker. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that will mean bigger masts, more masts. But the thing about it is people have to understand the actual technology behind the mobile phone. It isn't as bad as what people think it is. You know, it's actually quite safe.
You're very talking safe. About, yeah, I mean,
radiation.
Sometimes there are concerns, but the radiation has been measured again and again, and there are no studies suggesting there's harm, except absolutely. Robert F. Kennedy believes.
Yes.
That okay. Anyway, is exciting times 40 years ago and more exciting times ahead. Yeah. Derek Cassidy, founder of the Irish Communications Research Group, the ICRG, and Nicola Cook, director of Telecommunications Industry Ireland, the TII. Thank you very much both for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.